Suicide and mental health are the top issues facing veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's according to a survey released today by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, the first and largest organization for new veterans and their families. 40% of the vets who responded to the survey said they know at least one veteran of the Iraq or Afghanistan wars who has died by suicide. 30% say they themselves have thought about committing suicide since joining the military. Paul Rykoff is founder and CEO of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. He's a veteran of the Iraq War himself, and he's with us now. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, that number is really staggering. In fact, this one even more so. An estimated 22 veterans kill themselves every day. Is that statistic getting better or worse?
It looks like it's getting worse. And this entire survey should really be a wake-up call for all Americans. You know, this is all being released in the backdrop of the VA scandal. Right now, the VA is having tremendous turmoil. Our veterans are suffering. And we wanted to release the survey to show the true voice of our veterans. We've got over 200,000 members around the country. And we really need to understand the ground truth on mental health and on a variety of other issues. But if you think about it, almost half of our folks know someone close to them who has attempted suicide. That's a huge number. Every time I'm on the road, I'm meeting veterans who have been personally impacted, and this is a legitimate public health crisis. And we really need more help from Washington, from local municipalities, from philanthropy, from all Americans.
Well, and I see that 53% of respondents to the survey indicated that they have a mental health injury as well. You're actually pushing some legislation that's been introduced in the House to deal with this. What would that do?
Well, it would expand the mental health provider services. It would review all the existing mental health programs. It would demand that they incentivize mental health providers. We know there's been a shortage of doctors at the VA. And it's named after one of our own, a young Marine named Clay Hunt that we lost to suicide in Texas a few years ago. And his mother told his story. She powerfully testified before Congress a few weeks ago to try to put a human face on this, because that's really what it's about. It's not just about statistics and data. It's about real men and women that we are losing every single day. And we look for historical comparisons. There may not be a generation of young Americans that's lost so many of their friends close to them since the initial days of the AIDS crisis. This is happening all around us, and we need the country's help.
Another huge issue for veterans who responded to your survey is jobs. 10% of the vets said they didn't have jobs. How is that changing, and why is it so difficult for veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan especially to try and get employment when they come home?
Well, there has been a national call, and the First Lady and numerous corporations have started to focus on veterans' employment. We've made some headway, but 1 in 10 are coming home without jobs, and many of them are underemployed. About 77% said they had some kind of unemployment period. So the transition can be difficult. Their skills don't translate. People are worried they may redeploy. And we want folks to understand this is not about charity. This is about an investment. Invest in these young men and women. They're going to be good for your business. They're going to be dynamic, hardworking, and they're also incredibly entrepreneurial. I'm here in Boston today with a guy who just less than a year ago started a business in Worcester, and he's hired 30 people. Veterans start businesses and hire other veterans.
Well, why do you think more people aren't doing that then?
You know, I think there are some barriers in place for these folks. They've been gone on and off for 10 years, some of them, sometimes more, 5, 6 deployments. Many of them were in college. That's a good news story coming out of this, is over 1 million of our folks have used the GI Bill, and that's educating them, and now they're hitting the workforce. But at the end of the day, Americans have to understand the value of a veteran as a business proposition, not just as a charitable component, but something that can really propel your business no matter what you do forward.
If you look at how veterans in this survey view the people in Washington, the policymakers, a majority of respondents think the president and Congress are doing a poor job. It's 54% think the president, Obama, is doing a poor job in improving the lives of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. 69% think that about Congress.
Yeah, Washington's not listening, and they're not getting the job done. Even after the VA scandal, there's been tons of rhetoric out of Washington. We've all heard about this magic bullet that was supposed to come from Bernie Sanders and John McCain, and today we see why it's stalled. They can't get along and get things done. So it's really paralyzed our ability to respond, not just at VA, but also at the Department of Defense, for other government agencies. About 1/3 of our members actually work in the federal government or in local government in some way. So there's a huge role for Washington to play here. But the bottom line is the president's not listening. He's not responding. He hasn't talked about the VA scandal directly to veterans in months. He hasn't been meeting with veterans. And we hope that this survey lands on his desk tomorrow. It should be mandatory reading for him and anyone else in this country who cares about the future of our veterans.
Well, and there is the person that the president has nominated to replace Eric Shinseki at the Department of Veterans Affairs. That would be Robert McDonald, who testified at his confirmation hearing before the Senate Veteran Affairs Committee earlier this week. He's the former CEO of Procter & Gamble. He's a former Army captain. Let's listen to a little bit of what he said to the committee.
I think there's no higher calling. And this is an opportunity for me to make a difference in the lives of the veterans who I care so deeply about. If not me, who?
Now, the committee vote was unanimous, and he is expected to be confirmed by the full Senate. But what do you think of Robert McDonald?
Well, I actually spoke to Mr. McDonald last week. He reached out, gave me his cell phone number. I'm encouraged by his attitude. I'm encouraged by his fortitude and his energy. But if he's not supported by Congress and by the president, he's going to have a really hard time. Superman can't do this job if he doesn't get the right resources. And we're even seeing today the Veterans Affairs Committee is paralyzed by infighting and by their inability to truly support the VA or even understand the budgetary challenge that Mr. McDonald will face. So we hope he's confirmed quickly. We don't know if he will be. Hopefully that'll happen before the August break. But we've only got about 20 working days left in Congress for them to get a lot done, not just on McDonald, but on overall VA reform. So we're not optimistic, but we're hoping that this survey will really encourage people to call their leaders and make them put veterans at the front of the queue when it comes to legislation.
Not to mention all the other things that Congress has to do before they leave town or perhaps once they get back. Paul, one more thing I want to ask you about. 88% of the vets in your survey said they are worried that the end of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are going to mean that the public are going to pay even less attention to veterans' issues.
Absolutely. I mean, we look to our brothers and sisters from Vietnam, and we're worried about being left in the rearview mirror. We know it's a hot topic right now, but we know Afghanistan will likely wind down in the next year or so, and we're worried about being forgotten. Every generation is always concerned about it, and we've already got challenges. There's not enough philanthropy. There's not enough government support. So it's critical to us that as the wars wind down, they understand our veterans' challenges are just beginning. Here in Boston, nationwide, our veterans need long-term support, and that will require decades of commitment and focus.
Paul Rieckhoff, founder and CEO of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And you can read the findings from their survey, some fascinating findings of the survey out today. It's at our website, hereandnow.org. Paul, thank you so much as always.
Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it.